I want to welcome you to Sandusky First United Methodist Church. Our vision statement is love, care, share like Christ. Our mission statement of our denomination is go make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. I am Pastor Sue Platt, and I'll be joined this afternoon with Reverend Mark Garavaglia. I'm sure I probably... of the Presbyterian Church, and Reverend Penny Nunn of Heritage United Methodist Church is glad to have colleagues here on this Good Friday as we celebrate Christ's death on the cross today. Would you please stand for the call to worship? Christ himself bore our sins in his body on the tree.
Christ died so that we might die to sin and also live to righteousness.
Christ was lifted high above the cross so that he might draw the whole world to himself.
May we who glory in this death for our salvation also glory in his call to take up our cross and follow him.
Amen. Let us pray. It is hard to believe what we have heard, O God. How could a ministry of love be so blatantly rejected? Who would despise the teacher and healer who reached out to common people with acceptance and affirmation? Support and sustain us now as we recall the horror of Jesus' final hours. May the anguish we observe point us beyond death to catch glimpses of the light you seek to reveal to us. Lead us through the crushing pain and agony to challenge the violence that is ever more prevalent among us. We believe it is your will that we live in unity and peace. We pray these things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Today our song is Alas, and Did My Savior Bleed? Number 294, and on the screens. Please join me. Be seated.
Old Testament reading this morning comes out of the book of Isaiah, chapter 52, beginning at verse 13. Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. Just as many were astonished at you, so his visage was marred more than any man, and his form more than any sons of man. So shall he sprinkle many nations. Kings shall shut their mouths at him, for what had not been told them they shall see, and that they had not heard they shall consider. Who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we would desire him. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and he hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteem him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid him on the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shears is silent, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people he was stricken, and they made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death, because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, you shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteousness servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong. Because he poured out his soul into death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sin of many, and he made intercession for the transgressors.
May God add his blessing upon the reading of this word. Now we will sing, Were You There? I'm going to ask you to stay seated as we sing that, number 288 and on the screen.
Thank you.
Our New Testament reading is from Hebrews 10, verses 16 through 25. "This is the new covenant I will make with my people on that day, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts so they will understand them, and I will write them on their minds so they will obey them." Then he adds, "I will never again remember their sins and lawless deeds. Now, when sins have been forgiven, there is no need to offer any more sacrifices. And so, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter heaven. We can boldly enter heaven's most holy place because of the blood of Jesus. This is the new life-giving way that Christ has opened up for us through the sacred curtain by means of his death for us. And since we have a great high priest who rules over God's people, let us go right into the presence of God with true hearts, fully trusting him. For our evil consciences have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean, and our bodies have been washed with pure water. Without wavering, let us hold tightly to the hope we say we have, for God can be trusted to keep his promises. Think of ways to encourage one another to outbursts of love and good deeds. And let us not neglect meeting together, as some people do, but encourage and warn each other, especially now that the day of his coming back again is drawing near." Now would the choir please come up?
Thank you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, God of mystery and wonder, on this Good Friday, we recognize the darkest of days. Just as Jesus cried from the cross, "Why have you forsaken me?" Just as those at the foot of the cross wondered where you were while Jesus suffered shame and the crucifixion, we too sometimes wonder where you are. And when we see all these injustices and we see war and we see suffering and death, give us strength and courage, Lord, to live a while in darkness, to feel the darkness in which so many people live, the darkness that Christ endured. On this dark Friday, we wait for Sunday's joyous resurrection, but wonder why sometimes every day feels like this Friday, and we wonder what's so good about it. Gracious and loving God, in our hearts, we trust that life doesn't end with death. As Christ rose from the tomb, we trust that we too will be raised to new life. We trust that this world will be newly born and that your kingdom will come. So on this day of darkness, we turn to you and lift our voices together in prayer, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen."
We'll be coming forward today, and our offering will be going to unify our ministry in the community with the backpack program. Would the ushers please come forward? And as able.
We give back just a little bit. Lord, you have asked us to go out and make disciples. You've asked us to go out and take care of the needy. And with our backpack program, we do that. Lord, we ask that you multiply this offering, that you make it grow, that as we sow seeds into that program, we sow seeds of faith into those that we serve. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Today's sermon may be a little different because all three of us are coming together and we're not going to read the scripture. We're encouraging you to read the scripture from John 18 through 1942. We're going to do a recap. So let us pray. Lord God, may the words of all of our mouths and our meditations of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing to you, O Lord. And now may there be less and less of us and more of you. These things we pray. Amen. Jesus had finished the Passover, which we had last night at the Presbyterian Church, Maundy Thursday, a day that Jesus came together with his disciples and sat and had the meal and communion. And after all of that was over, Jesus left and went out to the Garden of Gethsemane. I had the pleasure of being in the Holy Lands and going to the Garden of Gethsemane. Now it has bars around that area of where Jesus was with the huge trees in the middle. And we had time to be able to reflect and remember what God was doing through his Son, Jesus Christ, as he prayed to his Father. Now, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John have different stories. Not all the same words. In some of the other scriptures, it will say that Jesus wept in tears as he asked the Father to remove this cup from him. I can't imagine, knowing what was coming, that he would be crucified, that he knew he was going to die, that he knew he would be flogged before his death and hung on a tree. How he must have felt his humanness at that very moment in that garden to say, "Take this from me, Lord." Are we not the same? None of us like the darkness. None of us like the pain and suffering. We all want that to go away until we come to God and we say, "God, please take this from us." Well, Jesus was no different. But he knew that he had to fulfill the prophecy and what his Father wanted. So he was arrested. And they call this in the scripture a detachment of soldiers that came, because Judas Iscariot had gone to them and given them 30 shekels of silver to betray the Lord Jesus. 30 shekels. May have been a couple bucks, but he gave up money. In the scripture in John, it does not say that he would go to the one whom he would kiss, but it is in other scriptures. And so he pointed out Jesus to the others through his kiss. This is who he is. And in the scripture reading that we have today, they ask, "Who is Jesus of Nazareth?" And I'm thinking back in that time, they must have heard of Jesus. Had they not ever seen who Jesus of Nazareth was? Or were they just wanting to make sure he was the right one? And so Christ says, I am he. Do we remember hearing an I am from God way back in the time of Moses? I am. And when they respond, when they hear that, they actually fall back, the disciples and all of those that have come to arrest him. Probably shock. And so they fall back and they ask once again, "Who are you?" And Jesus says, "I am he." So leave my fellow men alone. Leave them alone. They have done nothing. You want me? Take me. Of course, Peter being Peter, and you're going to hear more about Peter from Penny, takes his sword and cuts the ear off of Malchus. And Jesus didn't appreciate that. Did you hear that? Jesus didn't appreciate that. He didn't want to bring harm to others. He knew what the prophets were going to, what they had said, and he needed to fulfill it. He puts the ear back on and heals Malchus. And then the trauma continues. There's a preliminary hearing before Annas. Annas was the high priest prior to Caiaphas. He was a high priest in the eyes of the Jews, but the Romans had chosen Caiaphas to be the high priest. So they had a preliminary hearing to find out what is going on and who are you and what is it that you are teaching your disciples. Later in the evening, in more secrecy, there is a hearing before Caiaphas. Then after daybreak, 70 members of the Sanhedrin met to rubber stamp that approval of what had happened in the prior hearing. When they were asking Jesus, Jesus responds about what he's been doing. "I've spoke openly to the world. I have said nothing in secret. Why are you questioning me? You can ask others. Surely they know what I have said. If I've said something wrong, testify to what it is that is wrong. But if I've spoke the truth, why have you struck me? Because they did. They slapped his face. They were beginning the abuse already. And then Jesus stands before Pilate. Now Pilate did not believe that Jesus was who they said he was. He believed that he was the true Christ. But for him to be able to say that openly, they would have come up to him because others would have probably flogged Pilate if he would have said what was truly on his mind. So Pilate continues to ask questions, and he's asking, "What charges are you bringing against this man as his own people are coming now against him?" "If he were not a criminal," they replied, "we wouldn't even hand him over to you. But you see, in those days, only the Roman emperor could have anybody put to death on the death penalty." But Pilate says this in 18:31, "Take him yourself and judge him on your own law. But we have no right to execute anybody." Which is right. Only the Romans could do that. And the question comes up, "Are you the king of the Jews?" I love what Jesus said. "Is that your own idea? Or have you heard it from somebody else?" And then I think about that. Wonder if we just said that when somebody gossips. "Is that your own idea? Or have you heard it from somebody else?" Jesus being a little sarcastic there, isn't he? Pilate responds, "Am I a Jew? I don't know your business. Your own people, they're the ones handed you over to me. So are you a king?" And Jesus answers this in 37. You say that I am a king. In fact, the reason I was born and came into the world is to testify to the truth. To the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me. Pilate says, I have no basis to charge you then. I find nothing wrong to charge you. But he asked, on Passover, we always release a prisoner. So he asked the people, who do you want? Hoping that they would say Jesus Christ. You're right, you're getting ahead of me. Barabbas. Barabbas was a murderer, but they wanted Christ to die. So they said, let Barabbas go. Let Barabbas go. And Pilate had Jesus flogged. Flogged. Beaten. And the saying was, Hail, King of the Jews. They would slap him in the face. They put on the crown of thorns. Now, when I was in Holy Land, you could reach up into the tree and you could grab the thorns, which were very picky. Oh, my goodness, they hurt. And they made that into a crown and they pushed it on his head. Oh, the pain and agony. Do you know when you just prick your finger how painful it is? Can you imagine having a crown of thorns put on your head and shoved in your skin? Pilate didn't want to have anything to do with this. He says, you take him and crucify him. You take him and crucify him. The Jewish people said, we have a law, and according to that law, he must die because he claimed to be the Son of God. And when Pilate heard this, he was afraid even more. He went back inside his palace and he asked Jesus, where do you come from? Do you realize that I have the power to make this all go away? And Jesus' response to him is, you have no power over me. Because our power comes from God above through his Son, Jesus Christ. Listen to the rest of the story.
Meanwhile, I feel like Paul Harvey up here, the rest of the story. But meanwhile, Peter and John are following Jesus. They want to be as close to him as they possibly can. And somehow, John knows the high priest, so he gets into the inner courtyard. And then he talks to the woman at the gate. Amazing. I thought that was funny that there's a woman at the gate, not a guy, telling people who can and can't come in. How's she going to stop them, right? But he talks to her, and she lets Peter in. And she says to him, aren't you one of Jesus' disciples? And he says, I am not. It was kind of chilly that night, so there's a fire going. And the guards and the servants are all gathered around the fire. Who enjoys a good campfire? I enjoy a good campfire. Might have one tonight even, you know? I'm going to be with my brother, my sister. But he joins the campfire, and they too ask, aren't you one of Jesus' disciples? Again, he says, I am not. But a relative of the guard that Peter cut the ear off of, one of the servants is a relative of that guy. And she says, didn't I see you out there in the Olive Garden with Jesus? Now, I'd be scared, right? It's her cousin, a relative. She saw me there. She saw me cut off his ear. I'm scared. So, of course, he denies it, absolutely denies that he was there, that he's a disciple of Jesus. There's no way. And you know the story, right? As soon as he denies Jesus the third time, the rooster crows. Now, how many out there can identify with Peter? Oh, come on. Somebody has to. I know I do. I think they gave me this part on purpose, actually. When I was thinking about going into ministry, this is like 15, 20 years ago. I'd actually been thought about it my whole life. The big joke is, you know, I grew up Catholic and I thought about becoming a nun. And now I am one. I'm the only nun in the United Methodist Church. My last name is Nun. So I went, and part of the process, it was kind of like a little mini retreat, and part of the process was an interview. And they had some questions they asked, and one of the questions was, which person in the Bible do you think you're most like? Peter. I'm like Peter because, you know what, I stumble and I make all kinds of mistakes, just like Peter did. I mean, of all the disciples, who would have thunk? Who would have thunk that Jesus would pick Peter, who made all these mistakes, right? Who just opens up his mouth and inserts foot. That's me. So if Jesus could make Peter the rock upon which he built the church, I mean, he's the foundation of the church after Jesus leaves. If Christ can use Peter, maybe, just maybe, he can use me a little bit. Because look at all the mistakes Peter made. You know, he's faithful, but that faith stumbles once in a while. Remember the story about Jesus walking on the water in the storm coming towards the boat? And Peter says, Lord, is that you? Call me and I'll come to you. And Jesus says, come. And Peter starts walking out there and realizes, hey, I'm walking on water. There's no way this is possible. And because his faith wavered, he started sinking. He's brash. You know, his mouth just opens. He says things that are insensitive. When Jesus started telling his disciples, trying to warn them about what was going to happen, Peter grabs Jesus and pulls him aside and says, hey, don't be saying this. And Jesus tells him, get behind me, Satan. Get behind me, Satan. And this is who's the rock upon which we build our church, right? He's impulsive. He cut off the servant's ear. Just pulls the sword and cuts it off. And you know what? He goes to extremes. Anybody do that? You know, you just kind of go overboard with things sometimes. Like when Jesus is washing the disciples' feet and he's going along and everybody's just kind of quiet and gets to Peter. And of course, Peter's got to open his mouth, right? That's me. Opens his mouth and says, no way, no way, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? There's no way. And Jesus says, well, you have to, otherwise you can't be part of my family. And so Peter says, well then wash my hands and wash my head and wash all of me. I mean, come on, Peter. That's me. Is that you a little bit too? You see a little bit of yourself in Peter? You know, can you imagine how Peter must have felt when that rooster crowed? When I was younger, my dad would tell the story about when my brother and I were very little. He said, you know, my brother lied so well that he believed himself. He's really a good guy now. He's grown up. He's a really good guy. But me, he said, I would always tell the truth. And then one day, he caught me lying. When my dad told that story, because I didn't remember the first time I lied to my dad. The first time, right? Hey, Peter denied Jesus 3 times. My dad's been gone 39 years. And you notice I still remember that. That still hits home. How I disappointed
my dad. And I imagine that's how Peter felt when that rooster crowed. I have let Jesus down. He told me I'm the rock. And I've let him down.
We've been on a journey. The disciples were on a journey. I'm okay. This is why I come down here, because if I don't, I'm going to end up falling off of there. We've been on a journey for 40 days. We've been on a journey with Jesus. The disciples were on a journey with him for 3+ years. They followed him. They walked with him. They talked with him. They ate with him. Every place he went, they went. They were all together. They were on a long journey. Today is that day. Today's that Good Friday. Today's when we complete that journey to the cross. Today is the day we recognize. Today's the day we celebrate. And I hate that word about Good Friday. I hate the fact that they call it Good Friday, because there's nothing good about what happened today. There's nothing good about what we're celebrating today. There's nothing good about killing a man, an innocent man. But this is what we do. This is the end of that journey to the cross. This is the day when we celebrate the fact that Christ fulfilled the prophecies time and time and time again. Everything he did brought it to that point, brought us to this point. And we know from beyond today, we understand what's going to happen. We understand what's going to know. But I want you to focus on where we are today. The fact that the disciples were denying that they even knew him, that Pilate didn't want anything to do with him, didn't want to crucify him, didn't want to kill him, didn't want his blood on his hands. As a matter of fact, he washed his hands of it. He washed his hands of it and says, "You decide. You figure it out." And they nailed him anyway. He drug his cross through the streets. They spat upon him. They threw things at him. At one point, he was so beaten, so bruised, so bloody, so tired, so exhausted that he fell and could not get back up. And they pulled someone from the crowd to help him to make his way to the skull, a place where he would breathe his last. And he makes his way there. This man they laid upon a cross and drove the nails through him onto the cross. This Son of God allowed this to happen. He could have called the angels from heaven and said, "Free me from this," and did not. He laid there and took that pain. To me, that is almost unbearable to understand the pain he took. But he knew it was only going to be a fraction of what he was about to experience. Only a fraction of what he was about to go through. Because as they hung him upon that tree, as they stood it up, and his body began to bleed, and the life began to just pull out of him. And he hung there, and he breathed, and he breathed. And as he breathed, his lungs would fill up, and it became harder and more difficult and harder to breathe. And he hung there, and he hung there, and he took. And in that time, and they'd say it's about 6 hours, roughly, that he hung upon that tree. I want you to remember this way. We know that he died at that point. We know that after that 6 hours, he hung there and he was done. And he said these wonderful, wonderful, and I know they're wonderful because to me, it was finally that release. He hung there and he said, "It is finished. It's done." He knew. But during that time, and I want to back up just a little bit, he hung on that cross. Why? Why? Come on, somebody knows. He did it for us. He did it for our sins. He did it for us because we couldn't do it. Think about that. We've all taken that very personal, that he did that for me and for my sins. And humbling as that is and amazing as it is to me, think about it. You are one person in a world of billions and generations. So within that 6-hour period, he not only took your sin and your sin and yours and yours and yours and mine, but everybody else's from the time he was there until today. And from now on, he took them all in 6 hours. He took enormous pain and suffering. He took it because he was the only one that could. And when he laid on that cross and they banged his hands and his feet, that pain was nothing compared to the pain and the weight that he took for us. And it was necessary because before that time, that relationship with our God was broken. And there was a huge chasm that was there that could not be breached, that could not be overcome. They could not cross it. And as he hung there on the cross, he hung there with God on this hand and us on the other. And as he died and he said, "It is finished," he created the bridge, the gap for each and every one of us. He died there for that, so that we would have the relationship with God. We no longer need to go do an end around to find our way to God. We never need to find someone else to pray to, someone else to talk to, someone else to go through. There's no intermediary, I can't say that word, intercessory. There's none. We don't need one. We have a direct connection because he hung there that long and did it and took it for each and every one of us. But we are yet still sinners. And there's something I wanted for you to do this morning, this afternoon. This morning. How many times have I said that today? She giggles because she's done it too. In your bulletins, there's a piece of paper and you got a pen. I want you to take those out. And I want you to do something unique, something a little special. I want you to write upon that piece of paper. And please realize that no one else will see that. No one else, but this is between you and God. This is something that you might be holding on to. This is something that it's a sin, that private sin that's deep inside that nobody knows about, that you're hiding and you carry it around and you carry it around. How often have you gone to your knees and said, "God, I want you to take this sin from me. I want you to take care of this"? And we know and we're taught and we understand that if we lay it at the cross, if we lay it at the foot of Jesus, he'll take it from us. He'll take it from us, but how often do we pick it back up? Amen. And take a little piece and keep going because we think we can control it. What I want you to write down on there is something you want to give up for the last time. Something you won't want to deal with anymore. Something you can't pick up anymore. And I promise you, no one else will read them. But this is between you and your God. And when you've got that written down, I want you to bring it up here and place it upon inside this bowl. So please take a moment and do that. And I'm going to continue to keep talking.
And for those that cannot come up, we can fold it over and we will come and get that from you. But raise your hand so we know who to go to.
Absolutely. Thank you. This is an opportunity for you to lay it down one last time. I'm 52 years old. I followed Christ for a very long time. And for the longest time, I knew and I understood the sins that were in my life. And I thought, and anytime you're ready to come up, please, I'm just going to keep talking. For the longest time, I understood those sins, and I would get to a point where I didn't want to handle it anymore. I couldn't handle it upon my own any longer, and I would lay it down and lay it across Jesus' feet, and I would weep, and I would lay it out and just give it to him and say, "You can handle this. You said that you would take this from me. You said that you would take care of this from me, that I would not have to deal with it any longer, that you would be able to handle it." And I would cry and cry and give everything that I had, and I would say amen. And as I stood up, I would reach back and pick up just a little piece of it because I thought I needed to handle it on my own. I thought I was the one that needed to deal with it. I thought because it was my sin that I was in control, because it was my sin that I was the one that needed to take care of it, that I was strong enough to handle it. And let's just be honest, the truth is we truly are not, and that is why we are here. That is why Christ did what he did. If we were strong enough to handle our sins upon our own, there was absolutely absolutely no reason for him to hang upon that tree. There was absolutely no reason for him to suffer the way he suffered. There was absolutely no reason for him to die. This is the reason, because we are not strong enough, and we need to lay it down at his feet and leave it there forever. And I've placed each one, we've placed them in a bowl. And I don't know who put whose in here. Thank you. I don't know whose is whose. And I don't want to know whose is whose. And I could tell you right now, I could open them up and begin to read them. And there would be multiples of the same. Multiples. These are the secret sins. These are the sins that we suffer with. These are the things that we hold true that we don't think anybody else handles. But I can guarantee in this bowl is the same sins over and over and over again, because we are human beings and we do suffer for this. But the good news is, and the good news is we lay it at the cross, at the feet of Jesus. When we lay it there, when we lay it down for the last time, he hung upon that tree. He hung so that we would no longer need to pick these back up again. Because he knew we weren't strong enough. He hung there. Thank you. I set that down. I'll drop it. Our sins have been washed in the blood that was shed on the tree at Calvary. You don't need to pick it up anymore. You don't need to handle it anymore. God is handling it for you. Jesus Christ paid that price. Don't cheapen what he has done. He loves you that much. From the beginning, from the foundations of the world, he knew you would come to him. He knew there would be this point in your life when you were able to lay that out. And he knew where you would be this time of Good Friday. We talked a little bit about Judas and what he had to do. I want you to remember that night in the upper room, the time when he looked at Judas and said, you can go do what you have to do, because he knew Judas would betray him. But what happened just before that? He washed Judas's feet. He ate with Judas. He knew Judas was the one that was going to sell him out. He knew the evil and the problem and the issues in Judas's life and what he loved him anyway. You are no different. Jesus loved you from the beginning. He loved you, loves you where you are now. Do not cheapen his sacrifice. Leave your sins washed in the blood at the foot of Jesus. Just leave them. Amen.
Would you please stand for our closing hymn, O Sacred Head, Now Wounded. ask that you be seated, and those that are helping with the stripping of the altar, if they would come forward, please. For the benediction. On this day that Jesus died for us, help us to remember that it was our sin that he died for. May we give him praise and thanksgiving each and every day. And I pray that you will come back on Sunday morning to hear the rest of the story. Go now in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.